Welcome back to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry and my guest host today. Well, no, my permanent host, my permanent co-host is Rob.
Rob. Hey, good afternoon.
Hello, everyone. And we've got a special guest today. Leslie, why don't you introduce yourself and say why you're here today and what we're going to be talking about.
And where you are.
Well, where you are.
Where I am. Well, my name is Leslie Dorries, and I am a marriage coach and consultant. I'm based out of the Raleigh, North Carolina area, but that's not where I'm originally from. And really what I want to talk about today is, you know, what makes a healthy marriage, how you can judge whether or not yours is healthy, and if you decide maybe it's not what you are hoping for, what you can do about it.
Sounds great. Okay. Sounds fantastic. And you are listening to KRUU-FM, 100.1 FM, and do email us at mentalhealthmatters@kruufm.com. So where would you like to start today? Do you want to just start in terms of how do you know if you need help, or what were you thinking?
Well, I mean, you know, for me, my kind of flip response to that is if you ask that question, the answer is yes. I get a lot of times in working with my clients, people say, well, I don't know if this is important, or I don't know if I should mention this. And obviously, if you're thinking about it, it's important. And we kind of have this idea that to get help for your marriage, you have to be in real trouble. And in reality, the best time to look or to take a look at your relationship is kind of ongoing and before it ever gets into trouble.
Yeah, that I find that so essential. I think so many clients don't even want to come into sessions. Leslie, you've been a marriage and family therapist for a long time as well. And I think you find it with clients that they don't even want to come into session unless there's a crisis. And the point is, how do you avert the danger before it comes? How do you actually decide something isn't working? Forget about right or wrong or all the judgments. What's working and what's not working? And how do we move towards a relationship and a life that actually works for us?
Well, and I think part of that is first recognizing why we're even in this relationship. We all walk around with expectations. Sometimes we're aware of what those expectations are, but sometimes we have no idea. And so one of the things I work with my clients about is, you know, what is marriage to you? What does that concept mean to you? What does it mean to be a husband? What does it mean to be a wife? What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? Because we have this stuff that we carry around with us, and you know, we have expectations of our partners that they may not have any idea about, yet we're holding them to some standard. And first, and unless they have agreed to that standard, we're already in trouble.
Well, agreed or not, what are you thinking? I see, Rob, you're shaking your head.
Well, Leslie, you don't know this probably, but I'm a pastor, a Presbyterian minister, and was in the church for 20 years. And although as a pastoral counselor, you know, and I did do training in seminary on marriage and family counseling. But one of the things I always talked about is that marriage is a lot of times like a car. And you've got a car that's getting 30 miles to the gallon, and that's really great. And then all of a sudden you see that you're only getting 27 and 26 and 25. You need a tune-up. And so we've talked in the church about doing tuning up marriages in order to you know, get back where you were or to get to a better place, but not necessarily, you know, a crisis situation in order to first go to counseling or to seek help.
Well, and a lot of times, you know, people don't understand that marriage is a very different relationship than anything else we're ever in. It's the only relationship that's both legal and emotional, And it's the only relationship that we enter into as equals. Every other intimate relationship, meaning living together 24/7, is a hierarchy, parent to child, sibling. I mean, even if you have a roommate, you're not, your lives aren't intimately entwined, so you can always just leave. But marriage is very, very different, and people don't even necessarily know what that means, and we don't even, and we don't have good examples of good marriages for somebody to point to.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, and I think it's a fascinating way you described it, because you also have either a hierarchy or a choice, like with a friend. And in relationships are different, and especially once you're in and you're trapped, so to speak. Things aren't working, and you feel trapped, and you don't know what to do. And the point is, how do we actually make things work? How do we actually get out of this mess?
Well, I think that a lot of it is about education. That just, we in the business, we in the field know what works, but the general population doesn't know what works. We're told, you know, we get these little sayings, never go to bed angry. Well, I tell my clients, don't get into a serious discussion after 8 o'clock at night, because the last thing you want to do is start fighting or stay up all night fighting because somebody said don't go to bed angry. I actually have the opinion that couples never have to fight. Disagreement is a given, but fighting is a choice. But, you know, we're told, oh, but all couples fight, or if you're not fighting, then there's a problem. And these are all the kind of mixed messages we're sending people.
So, Rob?
where do, you mentioned, you know, we don't have good models, and you also mentioned earlier before we got on air about having a vision for a relationship. Where do we find the vision? Where do we find the models? Who are they?
Oh, that's a tough question.
We certainly don't get it from the media.
Look, is the family that we grew up in.
She cannot hear us.
Now, that's not necessarily a good thing, because we're now on second and third generation divorces. But that's a place to start. What did we experience growing up? What And previous relationships we've been in. What did we like, and what did we not like?
Hmm. And I like this notion of expectations. And, you know, I think so much of our problem is that we get trapped in what the other is doing. I call it our reference point gets lost outside ourselves. Our happiness, we start seeking outside ourselves. If it's sunny, we're happy. If it's cold, we're not. If we make $1 million, well, we must be happy. But where's our real happiness come from? Where does our life satisfaction come from? And it's like learning for you to be who you need to be, as opposed to focusing on what is the other person giving me or not giving me, and how are they living up to or not living up to my expectations, which is the ultimate traps.
Well, it is, and I jump all over, you know, my clients when they say, well, my job is to make this other person happy. It's like, no, it's not. You know, they're responsible for their own happiness, and you're responsible for yours. But that's, you know, but that doesn't fit the romantic, you know, fairy tale story where the couple rides off into the sunset and they lived happily ever after. And I always want to check in 10 years later going, okay, how's it going for you?
Right.
But nobody ever tells you how to live happily ever after.
Right. Oh, you're listening to KRUU 100.1 FM radio in Fairfield, Iowa. Solar-powered broadcasting from downtown Fairfield.
And you were just laughing at that whole statement.
Yeah, I was, indeed. You know, riding off into the sunset, that's what everybody dreams that their relationship or their marriage is going to be like. A marriage, you know, and I agree with you, relationships are work. And I also agree that, you know, you're in charge of your happiness, I'm in charge of my happiness. But we also have the ability to make the other person unhappy. And how do we?
It's true.
Yeah. How do we work that? In when we're in charge of our own happiness, the other person's in charge of theirs. How do those two connect? How do you connect between each other?
Well, one of the things that I always talk about is just basic consideration and kindness. We generally are kinder to complete strangers than the person we promise to love, honor, and cherish.
Yeah.
Which I always find, well, that's a really interesting thing. Now, I understand that when we live with somebody, they're going to have annoying habits, and I'm going to have annoying habits. But part of that is being kind about it, is going to somebody and saying, you know, hey, when you leave your shoes on the floor and I trip over them in the middle of the night, you know, that's really, you know, it really bothers me. And I actually try never to use the word you. That's one of the things I tell my clients is if whenever you're talking to your partner, try not to use the word you unless it's I love you, you're wonderful, and I'm so glad you're in my life, and then you can use you all you want. But when we start attacking people, you did this, you did that, it's like, no. It hurts me when this happens. And then if I can come to my partner and say that to them, hopefully they have the love and generosity of spirit to say, oh, this behavior bothers my partner. Is there something I can do about it?
Yeah, I've always been taught the words are, when you do such and such, I feel so and so. So, you know, instead of saying, you did this.
Even that you showing up when you do this, I actually think it works better when it's when this happens.
Yes, you're right.
Because then the you's implied, but it's not that shot across the bow, and then we don't get into an argument about whether or not I did this.
Well, something you said earlier also sort of fits into this as well, where we start talking about not only thinking about where the other person makes us happy or not, but and those expectations, and instead of bringing it back to we're the ones who make ourselves happy, we're the ones who take ourselves and make ourselves in control, we're the ones who needs to focus on us. So when the languaging becomes what you are doing to me, you should be doing this for me. Your job is to make me happy. Your job is to make me wealthy. Your job is to bring me satisfaction and all these things. My kid's job is to bring me happiness. You know, it doesn't happen like that.
Well, but you know, and part of it is that we're not really told. We're not really taught how to be responsible for our own happiness. We're taught, well, if I get this Xbox, or I get this car, or I get this house, or I get this job, or I get this guy, I'm going to be happy. And of course, that's not necessarily true, because you have to be happy within yourself first. And that's a scary place to go, and most people don't want to go there.
Taking responsibility for your own life.
Absolutely.
But if you take responsibility for your life, your own life, then you could also change that. Again, nobody makes you a victim. You make yourself a victim.
Absolutely.
But nobody wants to own up to that because it's scary. It's like change is scary. But once you get, hey, I do have responsibility for me, but the advantage of that is that then I get to create a life that actually works for me. I get to choose what will actually work for me. I'm not beholden to somebody else, and therefore I can actually have fulfilling life with somebody else.
Well, and this kind of gets at one of the things, because there are three words that I actually never use when I'm talking about marriage. I don't use the word work, I don't use the word compromise, and I don't use the word sacrifice. And people look at me and they think I'm crazy when I say that. But now, I do think that any relationship takes effort and attention, but work to me is like, okay, let's go out and plow the back 40 in 100-degree heat and 100% humidity. Oh, yeah. Doesn't that sound like fun? I get to go work in my marriage. And compromise and sacrifice mean that I'm giving up something, and it's the giving up that creates the problem, as opposed to I'm choosing to do this as opposed to choosing to do that. I know that if I make this choice, this other choice isn't possible. But resentment grows when I feel like I have to give up something.
I love that. Love how you said that. And it also goes back to something you said earlier in terms of thinking about, we're not here to agree, we're agreeing to communicate. Our job is that we're not here to be in perfect alignment. We are here to coordinate our lives together, which I'll talk about in a second. But we are here to actually agree to communicate and to create something. But we don't have to agree on everything. And everybody gets in these fights. I've got to be right. No, I'm right. And we paint ourselves into these corners, as opposed to not compromising, but finding a way for us to work and get that you don't have to be the right. There is no right or wrong. Whenever you make things black and white, you're screwed. Whenever you make it...
In most cases, people are arguing about opinions, so technically they're both right.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's where it gets into trouble. It's like, it's not right or wrong. It's just like, I view it this way, and you view it that way. Okay, can we find a path that we both can walk joyously together?
Oh, I like that.
Or agree to disagree.
Right, because sometimes we don't... You know, we don't have to agree. My husband grew up in Los Angeles, big city. I want to get there the fastest way I know how. He grew up small town, likes to drive the back roads. Who's right? Well, we're both going to get there. I just prefer the more direct route. And for a long time, we would snark at each other about that until we finally decided whoever drives picks the route, and if we need to get there quickly, I drive.
That's fantastic. So I talk about in a relationship two different aspects. One is about connection, that passion that we think is so essential. But you could have lots of passion, but that doesn't mean your relationship actually works. As Tina Turner says, what's love got to do with it? You could have that passion, but that doesn't mean your relationship actually works. Or you could have what I call as a second element of that you're coordinating your lives together and you are great roommates and that you really work together in terms of raising the kids, but there's no passion. But yeah, there's got to be a sense of both. That coordination is that we have got a similar vision, a similar way of seeing the world and working together to create that. It's not just we go to sleep at the same time, get up at the same time, but we're seeing a world together and wanting a life together. And when you combine that with that connection, you really do have, we can agree, but we don't, or we could agree to disagree. We don't have to be on the same page, but we have to have that similar, bigger vision of what we want our lives to be and how we're going to move towards that.
Well, absolutely, and then we also have to have a plan to implement that vision. And the way that we do that is to stay connected with each other, which means we actually have to spend time together. We have to spend quality time together, and because that's the only way to stay, to keep that passion alive. And, you know, and passion ebbs and flows over the course of a relationship. I mean, anybody who's a parent of a newborn, passion generally is not one of the primary things going on. Everybody's just trying to get sleep. But at some point in time, that newborn isn't a newborn, and if we haven't stayed connected during those rough months, then we end up starting down that pathway where we're just roommates and good at coordinating, but then we're also very lonely.
Absolutely. And that often takes its toll years later when there is crises, and there is always a crisis. And sometimes it's with the kids and sometimes it's with each other and sickness and death. And something always happens in the course of a relationship. And if you have kids, then at some point the kids are gone. And then how do we live our lives together again after being so apart and not actually being in a relationship? The point
right, and
is,
then that's, and then that's where that vision and that plan come in. Is, you know, and it was likening, you know, to the car example, but you know, it's like kind of like you know, we plan, we continue to check in, you know, people get their oil changed, you know, they get their, you know, 30,000 mile checkup or whatever it might be, and then they'll replace the brakes when they need to be replaced. And we need to take, bring the same concept to a relationship, because what happens is people stick it on autopilot and until it crashes into the side of a mountain. And then they go, oh, crap.
Okay. Let me interrupt here for just a second, and then you're listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. This is KRUU 100.1 FM radio in Fairfield. Leslie, when you're talking to couples and you're talking about quality time together, do you talk at all about the need for time apart?
Yes, I do, because we never... We just add more hats. We don't take them away. So you always have to do things for yourself that feed your soul, that keep you connected to you. Then you need to be connected to your partner, and then you need to be connected to your family. And I know all the listeners just went, okay, there's only 24 hours in a day. I get that. It's about being intentional, because when you spend time away from your partner, number one, you're rejuvenating yourself, and number two, it gives you something to talk about.
Right.
And it's gone quality time, not quantity time. But that doesn't mean that in a lot of relationships where people have drifted, one of the things you will talk about in exercise is to simply spend a half an hour a day in intentionality, in terms of really connecting. And it doesn't really matter what you talk about, but it's really getting to that point of intentionality, of really connecting to something so much deeper. And so, a lot of times it means also having an action with that, going for a walk, doing something to get back in your body and back with each other.
Well, exactly, because if you spend a half an hour in conversation with somebody, by the time you get to that 30-minute mark, you're talking at a much deeper level than when you started. But most couples do what I call informational exchange. They
yeah.
talk to each other in 2, 3, 5-minute bursts. And that only leaves them at the surface level. So as opposed to saying, well, I've got this big meeting, it's, well, how do you feel about the meeting? How did it go? What was that like for you? You're talking at a much deeper level, and then you're connecting again.
Yeah. It's the same with your kids as well. It's having the critical communication, critical thinking skills. So what are some other skills that you suggest, some other exercises that you suggest to clients?
Definitely learning positive communication skills. And a lot of people think they know those, but most people don't. Communication is a necessary but not sufficient skill for a successful relationship. Without good communication, you're not going to be able to solve problems. And then that's another thing, is having a good process to problem solve. Like I said before, not at 2 o'clock in the morning when both of you are tired.
Mm-hmm. Or texting. One of my pet peeves, texting, oh my God, it's like we're going to have emotional long discussions over text. And somehow, or me and Rob had a miscommunication last night because I text him and I speak into my text. And he's like, what the hell are you sending this to me for? And so even with your buddies, you're sitting there, could miscommunicate all the time. And it's like getting clear of what's the bottom line, that we want to care about each other. We're wanting something more. So how do we do that? And setting up a strategy every day to make that connection happen. But you were saying, Leslie, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay. But we also have to have strategies to talk about the important aspects of a marriage. I tell my clients, you cannot opt out of any major part of your relationship. You can't opt out of intimacy. You can't opt out of the finances. You can't opt out of running the house or raising the kids.
Yeah.
You have to, your vision has to encompass all of these things.
Absolutely.
What happens when you, if you do opt out of one of those? For instance, I know somebody who has a long-standing relationship, and there is no sexual intimacy in the relationship at all, and that seems to be okay for both of them.
Well,
Well, we think
okay.
It is.
If it's okay for both people, then that's not really opting out. That's coming to an agreement.
Okay.
The problem is if one person is not okay with the situation, the other person has to come to the table to deal with it. Because, I mean, one of the things you're talking about is what's known as a sexless marriage. One partner wants to be physically intimate and the other one doesn't. And what gets told is, I don't want to be physically intimate with you, but you're not allowed to be physically intimate with somebody else.
Right.
That's a recipe for disaster, and it actually sets the relationship up to fail.
So I've got a new couple, for instance, I'm seeing. I do these couple retreats where people come to me for a weekend, and they will spend 8, 9, 10 hours a day for 3, 4, 5 days, depending on how much they want to spend. And they might want a couple therapists there, and they might do it from Aruba and do it on Skype or something, or they might be in person. But, you know, what we come back to is, what are we doing to break through the emotions, to break through our thinking patterns, our belief systems, and go, okay, let's get back to action? Because almost every couple starts coming back to the same old thing. So this new couple I'm seeing for this retreat in 2 weeks sent me an email, and it's the same old thing: control, communication, commitment, trust issues, sex, money, finances, you know, good routine, caring about each other. Every couple has the same kind of issues. We have our own little spin on it, but it's allowing ourselves to develop each of those points and go, let's not be afraid. Let's call a spade and let's get past that. And if we're having sexual issues, then let's find the deeper point of connection so we can get past that. If we're having issues about chores, let's find a routine that makes our life work.
Right. And the first part of that is creating a safe space to have that conversation.
Yeah.
It's about being willing. If I want to be heard by my partner, then am I willing to hear them? Everybody talks about unconditional love. They want to be loved unconditionally. They don't necessarily want to love unconditionally. It doesn't work that way. I have to be willing, even though I don't either agree or like what my partner is saying, we can't move forward until it's all out on the table and we can find the points of common ground.
Such a great thing to say. We're just about out of time. I love what you just said. Say that one line again. I just want to hear that again. It was just so well said.
Oh dear, which about finding, about being, having a safe space?
No,
the unconventional. Not unconventional, but
The unconditional love.
Unconditional love,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, people want and expect to be loved unconditionally. They just aren't necessarily willing to love unconditionally, right. And then it won't work.
I think that's
to be willing. If you want it, you have to be willing to give it.
That's right. Fantastic. Is there anything else you want to say to close out today? Because I just love that state.
I could talk forever, but you know, but the one thing I want people to understand is there is help. It's not a failing. We all run into stuff we don't know how to do, and you know, the better idea is go out and find somebody who can help you with that, whether it's Scott, whether it's me, whether it's somebody else that you find that you connect with. Don't be unhappy or miserable for one more day.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so very much for being with us today. And you are listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry and Rob Huebler. Please email us. We're at KRUU, Mental Health Matters at KRUUFM.com. Have a great day, everyone. Bye.
Hey, thanks very much, Leslie.
Bye, Leslie.
Bye-bye.